Hey, this is Malcolm Brogdon, and this is the Sideline Guys Podcast.
Welcome back, Pacers fans, to another edition of the Sideline Guys Podcast. Alongside Jeremiah Johnson, I'm Pat Boylan. As these podcasts start to get a little bit more frequent, that's obviously good news. We're getting closer to the start of the season. And JJ, I don't know about you, I always kind of think of the season and the offseason kind of like in a few parts. There's that area right after the Pacers season ends where the rest of the playoffs are happening and you're kind of watching the rest of the NBA, which is, you know, a little odd when your season's done and the rest of the teams are playing. Then there's kind of that kind of dead period where not a whole lot's going on. You move into the draft, into free agency, and that kind of feels like a stretch. And to me, I always kind of flip the switch into, like, this season is starting to become real again when the schedule comes out. And I know it came out Friday. It's been a busy few days for both of us, so we're getting around to this. Here back on our normal Wednesday schedule, but this to me always kind of feels like the unofficial, maybe, turn of the page to what will be the 21-2022 season.
Yeah, that's interesting, Pat. I kind of consider that to be Labor Day. I always enjoy the Labor Day holiday, and once that ends, I start really thinking about guys being back in town, working out informally, and then the start of training camp and media day and everything else. Really, the schedule release day in August is the only day that I often, you know, it's kind of that one month where, like you said, the draft, maybe July, but there's free agency in normal years there. But it's that one day you would look forward to in the month of August. And I do think that with the schedule being out, you start to think ahead a little bit more. And for many years, for me, it was not just, you know, the Pacers challenging matchups and road trips, but where will I be over the next 6 months? And so no travel last season. We don't yet know what the circumstances will be for our broadcasts coming up, but I still think that it's fun to look ahead at the 82 games and see where the potential pitfalls might be and where are the opportunities to perhaps go on a little bit of a winning streak and just project a little bit. And so we'll do that here on this podcast.
And you look at the schedule, I think the first thing that jumps out is things are a little bit different to open the season, but in a lot of ways, first of all, you've got a pretty normal looking schedule, which is exciting. I mean, you're starting right around when you normally start. That April 10th date, I think the Pacers have ended their season on that date numerous times before. And we had known this. You had seen the reports that had come out that the NBA wants to get to an October 19th opening night. But I will say that if you would have asked me back in February or March when the season was going to start, I wasn't super optimistic that they could get 100% back on the original timeline this year. I thought it might be something like a November 1 start a couple of weeks back, a much more normal year. And we certainly hope, you know, we don't totally know, unfortunately, what the pandemic has in store for us by that time. But at least the plan is, you look at this and it looks like, you know, the schedule on release day of 1920, of 1819 every year before, except right at the top. The Pacers have had a tradition of more often than not starting the season with a home opening night. That's not the case this year. In fact, their first two games are on the road as Indiana goes to Charlotte and Washington on Wednesday and Friday. Now, the flip side of that is it means you get your home opener on a Saturday night instead of a Tuesday night. So there will obviously be a ton of excitement, especially since just kind of the way the world started opening back up, it really was the beginning of the playoffs when you started to see arenas become more full. So Pacers fans haven't gotten to experience that yet. So it'll feel, from a fan's perspective, I certainly hope it'll feel on opening night a lot like the arena did for the first time since March of 2020. You're talking a year and a half now, and that'll come on a Saturday, a weekend, which will certainly bring some more excitement as well.
Yeah, I don't actually think it's a bad thing to start away from home and then to get that extra juice in game three and then game four with the Heat and the Bucks and your first two home games. And I didn't even think about it till looking at it right now for this conversation. A little ironic that the schedule begins with the two teams that the Pacers played in the play-in tournament, the Hornets and the Wizards. So, that's a road trip where it's easy to look and say, that's a good chance to win. That's a good chance where, you know, maybe it'll be tough to get a victory. But if we could say Charlotte Washington for a two-game road trip. That's not daunting, and we don't even, I don't think, really know how maybe the Wizards will look. I think the Hornets might be improved, but you still go into those games thinking, you know, you've got a chance to have some success away from home, and we know one, you know, great way to predict season success is how you can fare away from home. Now, you don't expect the home record to be quite like it was last year. You hope to get back above 500 at Bankers Life Fieldhouse, and we hope that was just a one-year anomaly. But I actually don't mind it. I mean, I know that we always like that first game of the season being at home, but as you mentioned, I think there's some benefit to having that game on a Saturday night. And like I said, a game against the Heat this season will probably be challenging if there's just one little extra bit of buzz and maybe a little more advantage from the home crowd being fired up for that being a home game and the home opener. You'll take that.
It certainly seems to me that just kind of looking at this schedule, it would be interesting to do a real deep dive, compare and contrast here. That at least in the Pacers case, you're looking at a lot of road trips and chunks of road games. And I think it would be interesting to know when they were creating this schedule. We talked so much about the back-to-backs that you had last year. The Pacers had, I think, seven of them. And you get out on longer road trips, it means you're gone for a longer period of time, but it's less overall travel, which I think, you know, has its positives and negatives, but the amount of miles traveled when you have more road trips together is less because you don't have to come back to Indianapolis and restart a flight each time. And November, I mean, you talk about not too bad of an opening start, Charlotte, Washington, not daunting. You come back for a couple of games against good teams that are at home, Miami and Milwaukee, a couple road games, a couple home games. And then when you really first see the big stretch of the season of either home or road games happens in November. And the Pacers on a Friday, November the 5th, will head out to Portland and they'll be gone through the 11th, and you know, actually they'll head out the day before, so that'll be a good week-long road trip there. Come back for one single game against Philadelphia and then hit the road for three more. So as I look at the schedule, like the first few things that jump out, I always, you know, look for a couple things personally in terms of games around the holidays, games around Thanksgiving and Christmas, and do we play on New Year's Day or the second. And then I kind of start looking at those chunks of home stretches and road stretches. And this one definitely caught my eye here right off the bat in November.
Yeah, I did a slow scroll through the schedule on Friday, and it was fun to just kind of go one game at a time. And when I saw this game in Portland on November 5th, I thought, well, that's as early as I can remember for a Western Conference road trip. And then you come home, and I saw that 76ers game on a Saturday night. And then I see turning around and heading to New York City the next day and to take on the Knicks on the 15th and a three-game road trip. So what you have is basically 7 of 8 on the road and the one home game against the team that had the best record in the Eastern Conference. What that tells me, Pat, is after the Pacers play the Knicks on November 3rd at home, that'll be the conclusion of a three-game homestand. You'd like to think that there may be two or three games above 500 because it's going to be tough in that 7 and 8 stretch. And you know, even after you play that three-game road trip, Knicks, Pistons, Hornets, okay, not the most difficult three-game trip. Come home for a game against the Pelicans and turn around and get on the plane again. And then you've got a series of one-game road trips. But to your point about the longer road trips, I think that makes more sense. I think that, I don't know, you can get more in a road trip business mindset when you're going for more than one game. It seems like you never actually get settled in when you're flying out at 3 in the afternoon, you get somewhere and you wake up knowing you're leaving that hotel in a couple of hours. And then even coming back home, it does seem like sometimes a little more travel than is necessary. And so I do like the way it starts, even if I don't like the fact that you come home for that one game and turn around and leave again for three. But there's some payback on the other end of that, or at least some reward in December. But before we get to December, we probably should talk about what is really one of the best Thanksgiving week schedules that I can recall. And from, I'll say this before we even also get too far into it. If this is a normal season and I am traveling, it does change the way you look at the schedule. But I just thought this was a fun schedule. I don't think it's imbalanced or unfair really in any part outside of maybe that stretch in November. But there are a lot of things to kind of, oh, that's kind of cool. I like that that game is right there. And I think it's kind of cool this year that the Pacers don't leave the weekend after Thanksgiving. I mean, so many times people will ask me, what are your Thanksgiving plans? And I'll be like, okay, well, I'm going to see family on Thursday. Friday is always maybe the busiest day of my year in terms of work, because I've been fortunate enough to many years work a football game in the morning and then a Pacers game at night. And then often it's turn around and fly out Friday night after the game or perhaps Saturday. And I like this 3-game homestand, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday. It really gives fans maybe an opportunity where maybe they haven't even been able to get a ticket to that Gold Friday game. But the Wednesday before Thanksgiving has a holiday feel to it, and even Sunday as well. And those are against three high-profile teams. That's a fun week right there.
It absolutely is. And that's also one of the things that – it's why I always look at the games around the holidays, because I remember them as a college student back – God, now we're talking 10 years ago, so I'm starting to feel a little old. But
oh, yeah, 10 years, that's a long, long time, Pat.
I know. But okay. you remember how all of a sudden you go from, like, feeling like college was just the other day to, like, wow, that's, I need a couple hands to count that. But, you come home, and your best chance – now, I went to Ball State, you went to Ball State. We were an hour away from Indianapolis, so it's not like we couldn't go to Pacers games if we didn't want to. And I often did while I was in school, but – the time to come home over the holidays was always like punctuated by, hey, can we get a Pacers game or two in there? If the Colts were playing, hey, can we try to grab a Colts game? And that's one thing, whether it's college students back in town or whether it's people, I've got a brother who lives in Austin, Texas, and he's always in town around that time. And so I always try to, reserve my tickets for him when we have the ability to, but sometimes the schedule just works out where they're gone for a bunch of that stretches. I think that was the case a couple of years ago where like he was in town and didn't even really have the chance to see them, even though he was here for 5 or 6 days. And that is one thing that I think is a huge positive of this is just the all the games around Thanksgiving, the team doesn't have to leave. Like if I remember right, you guys are often leaving on maybe that first big road trip coming out of Thanksgiving. And then Christmas as well, to jump a little bit ahead around that timeline, you're home the 23rd, the 29th, and the 31st. That New Year's Eve matinee game is always one of my very favorites. I was really glad to see that was preserved. And I just wasn't totally sure, we're not really ever totally sure about anything ever since COVID hit. Like, do some of those traditions stay? Do the games before Thanksgiving stay? Does the New Year's Eve matinee game stay? And I'm glad to see that those appear to be yeses, because those are always, I think, such big staples in the schedule. And I know you would agree, just being there and at those games, oftentimes those ones around the holidays, they're very full, they're packed, they're loud. And we have tended to get some good opponents around those times, which makes the games feel a little bit more playoff. So I think in terms of trying to check those boxes, I'm very happy to see that a lot of those traditions are back, and we'll hopefully get those normal holiday-like game feelings back here in just a few months.
I was asked on 107.5 morning show on Tuesday morning, Kevin Bowen said, it always seems like the Pacers are home the day after Thanksgiving, and they're always home on New Year's Eve. Is that just luck? And you might even be able to answer this question better than I. The way I understand it is the team can put in some requests, no guarantees, and they even rank maybe the request order. So I do believe that Gold Friday game is probably number one on their request list. I've been on the road sometimes on New Year's Eve, but lately it's been more of a home game. But it would appear those are probably the organization's top two requests in terms of traditions and also the ticket sales that they're able to get on those days. And it's been nice of the NBA to grant their request.
Yeah, it would be fascinating to know how all of that works. I think you and I have some sort of idea just with, talking with people in the organization, whether it's our ticketing and marketing folks or those in basketball that actually go back and forth with the schedule. There's typically a draft that comes out and teams will look it over and, give either requests or like major concerns. And there's so much that has to be worked around in the schedule, because you think of, again, a little bit different because of COVID, but you just think of all of the events that go on in the field house. And I know they try to typically start with Pacers and then move stuff around after that. but you can't always do that. Sometimes to get a big name show in town, you got to schedule that a little bit out in advance. And then those are dates that can't come. And you start thinking about, you know, just how complicated that can be for the field house. And then you start doing that with all of these other arenas in other big cities, Madison Square Garden. I mean, it would be fascinating to know exactly how the schedule comes together and what the process is for requesting games and approving those games. And I would think that a lot of teams would like to be home around Thanksgiving. And so the fact that the Pacers do get that, I think, is a huge plus. But yeah, maybe we can do some looking into that or asking on the NBA side, because I think it would be fascinating to see all of that come together.
It would be. Just moving ahead into January, Pat, one time I think the Pacers have had one of these trips where they played the Clippers and Lakers in back-to-back games. And I did hear from around the NBA there was a little more of that in this schedule where teams maybe played the Knicks and the Nets in one road trip. I don't see that for the Pacers in this one. But I do see this LA, and it's the start of a challenging stretch again in mid-January. And it's a stretch that I hope to be traveling with the team, because that's a fun 3 or 4 days if you just get to be in one hotel and you get to walk over to Staples Center for a couple of games and then go play the Warriors and Suns and then throw the Pelicans in there at the end of the road trip. Not that if I'm traveling, I'll have any money left by the end of the trip, but if I do, that'll be fun to be on Bourbon Street, maybe on an NFL playoff Sunday, January 23rd, before that Pelicans game, the 24th. So just to reiterate, we don't yet know our travel plans or what might happen, but that'd be a good road trip to be on.
It certainly would. And to, you know, continue that thought on the radio side as well, we don't know. Normally I don't travel. If you guys listen to the podcast, normally, you know, I work our road games from the studio. Jeremiah is traveling, and it's been one of the founding pillars of wanting to start this podcast in the first place, because it was like, you and I can check in, you can be on the road, kind of give us some insight on the road trip. And, you know, we obviously haven't had that for a year and a half. So for many reasons, we certainly hope that you'll be back on the road and get to be a part of that trip. And we'll be able to check in with you, whether it's from the hotel or the McDonald's down the street, you know, really wherever, wherever you're able to find some space. And I started to jump over it, but I do want to, you know, quickly go back and just kind of make what I find an interesting point about the schedule. And you can find quirks and all of that stuff in every team's schedule. But quickly back to November, which we were discussing this big, long road trip. But if you think about it from the perspective of a player that is on this trip, playing on the team, going through the schedule, you're going to leave for Portland on Friday, or I should say Thursday, November the 4th. And you're going to have that long road trip, and then you're going to come back for that Philadelphia game in just a one-off. And what that essentially feels like is another road game. Now, don't get me wrong. You get to go home. You get to sleep in your own bed. You get to see your family. But when you have one home game like that sandwiched between what is 4 road before and 3 road after, it kind of just ends up being another stop. And it's a quick turnaround again to play out in New York on that Monday. So that stretch, really, if you think about it, from like November 4th through, they come home on the 20th, then they go back to Chicago on the 22nd, then they're home on the 24th. Like from the 4th to the 24th, it's going to be 3 straight weeks where it more or less is traveling to a different city every couple of games or so. And even the ones in your own city, there's only a couple of them, and they're sandwiched by road games. And then the absolute flip happens of that right after, when you get really into late November, because you have 3 straight at home, then it's one random road game on a Monday tossed in there at Minnesota. And then you will come right back where the Pacers open up the month of December with what is 6 straight home games. So you have a stretch of 9 of 10 at home, and that's going to basically feel like you're never leaving, because that Minnesota trip will be a quick in and out, and you'll be home for 3 weeks. So it'll feel like 3 straight weeks on the road and then almost 3 straight weeks at home. You've experienced kind of trips like that. What do you anticipate that stretch being? Hopefully you're there. Hopefully we're asking you literally how it's going. But in your experience, what are trips like that like, when you have a ton of those road games and then the home games tend to be sandwiched in between, to the point where you don't, I would assume, ever really feel like you settle back in at home?
Well, you are correct in saying that home game often feels like a road game. And I've often heard people say that the most challenging game in a long road trip is not the last game of the trip, but it's the first game back, because, as I've often said, you know, if you've got a family, you're getting reacclimated with all of them. You're trying to get your suitcase unpacked. You're just doing all the things that, okay, maybe your wife has said, all right, you got the kids today. I've had them for the last week and a half. Well, all of a sudden there's a game still to get ready for, even though I am home. And then, as you said, to turn around and leave again, that's tough. The one thing that I'll say that I do like about it is, from a team perspective, there are a lot of good things that can happen on a road trip in terms of chemistry and bonding and team building. And I think this is a really good opportunity for this group to, you know, get to know each other a little bit better. I feel like they know each other well, because this is another season of continuity. We really got a second straight season where a lot of the guys have been on the team before, but there is an entirely new coaching staff, and perhaps maybe there is a little bit of, you know, mending the fences just a little bit, maybe just kind of, you know, getting back in good graces with each other from last season. There were obviously there was some issues, and it wasn't a perfect season from a chemistry perspective. And so I do like the fact that before the season gets too far into it, that they've got this opportunity to go on the road, and that it's one of those road trips where it's not just a bunch of back-to-backs and travel. There's some opportunity built in there where you can maybe have a team dinner or a little bit of bonding opportunity. You see the Sunday game in Sacramento, and then you don't play again until Wednesday in Denver. So, you know, by rights, you have a Monday that's maybe completely free where you can, you know, get to know some of your teammates. And again, I hate to have all of these conversations and saying, well, depending on COVID and protocols, but I'm at least confident in saying that things will be better for everybody this season. It may not be normal, but there will be those opportunities that, you know, truthfully, they just didn't have last season. And so for that reason, I like having that early road trip. I don't like that it's one long, what feels like 8 or 9 game road trip because of that one home game. And that's where they'll be really challenged when they come home for Philadelphia and then they leave again for Knicks, Pistons, Hornets. You say those three games are winnable opportunities. Not that the others aren't, but you need to make sure you're not worn down by the road for those last three. And so, again, I think they need to have some success early, go into that stretch with a 2 or 3 game cushion on the 500 mark, and then maybe hope to come out of it at or above 500 as well.
Yeah, I think that's certainly, you know, the way that you'd want to look at it is, can you get yourself a little bit of a cushion to make it through that stretch? And then if you can, if you're feeling good about where you are, like if we are recording a podcast in late November and you're feeling pretty good about where the Pacers are, then I think you're in a great spot because you have all these home games coming up. Like if you've gotten out of that and you aren't, you know, battered and bruised, and you're healthy, and that's obviously a major key to all of this, is can the health hold out this year? It never, ever really did last year. I think you got like maybe 1 week stretch with what you felt like was good health. And then, of course, those that was a period of time where the guys hadn't played together for a long time. So it really didn't even count. That's obviously a major key to all of this. And from a schedule perspective, I think where the Pacers are in late November is like the first major key to me. And if it's not in a great spot, it's still early. November is the first full month of the year. So you're going to have December, January, February, March, 4 full months coming up later to correct that if you don't feel like you're in a great spot. But I do think that's a good early, you know, kind of litmus test of where the Pacers stand. You started talking a little bit about January, which has another pretty daunting road stretch in it.
Before I get to that, I do have a question, Pat. Do you think that the Bulls make their one request to host the Pacers the day after Christmas? You think they submit that?
That would be kind of a lame request.
It is odd. I think this feels like maybe the fourth time in the last like 6 years, December 26th at Chicago.
Who knows? Maybe they love that. Maybe they love that post Christmas game. And because the Pacers are geographically so close, and obviously other advantages of being in the division and all of that, and naturally you're going to play Your couple games at Chicago, maybe that has something to do with it. That's a good question, but that's a good point. You know, I will admit I hadn't noticed that before you said it, but now that I start to think, and these are the kind of things, like, you're physically in Chicago, so it sticks out more to you. But I don't know, maybe we'll get a Bulls exec on the pod and be like, are there 10 people in a boardroom just pounding their fists saying we've got to play Indiana in the United Center the day after Christmas? Maybe, who knows? Maybe it's a big draw.
What I do think, there probably is a little bit of trade-off, and this is one of the things that's probably like 15th on the list of cross checks that the NBA has to do in putting a schedule together, though, is, you know, you've got your Christmas Day games. Those are obviously a big deal, but still the 26th is kind of holiday-ish. And so if you're always going to be home for Thanksgiving, then and home the day after, think about it. If you're playing at home on the day after Thanksgiving, 15 of the teams are going to be in a hotel that night because you travel the day before. And so maybe it's a little bit of a trade-off. Okay, Pacers, you get to be home sleeping in your own beds Thanksgiving night. We're going to send you somewhere on Christmas night. And I'll admit that I don't love having that game on the 26th on the road, but I do like that it's close. And since I've been traveling, I feel like it's been four times Chicago, maybe twice Detroit, and maybe even a Cleveland thrown in there. And so to that, I will give the league credit, because it's always allowed for a later than normal departure. You know, normally you would leave in the afternoon after a practice, and it's always up to the coaching staff. But I think there's some, you know, some blessing to, you know, players with families and really everyone who wants to be able to enjoy and spend time with family on Christmas, that you can leave a little bit later because it is such a short flight. In fact, that Chicago trip, I always enjoy it because it's the time travel flight where you actually take off and then you land and you've actually gained time because you've less than an hour flight and then going into the central time zone. So that was just something that I found a little bit humorous. And I do like having, you know, two teams within a week. You got the Bulls on the 26th and then again on the 31st, it helps a little bit in prep. Maybe it gets a little more rivalry. And I think the Bulls are a good team to have in for that New Year's Eve game. So moving ahead, we mentioned January just a little bit. That's a fun road trip. Anything else stand out to you? I guess I did notice that January 29th game with Rick Carlisle returning to Dallas will be one I think the Mavericks are really anticipating.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, is you look at January and the two things that stand out to me are that big road trip again, that one home game sandwiched in between six road, one home, two road. So again, all the things we're saying about November, probably true of January. And it closes out with that game in Dallas. So I was curious when the Pacers would be, you know, playing in Dallas against the Mavericks. Obviously, they'll come here as well. But it's that first game back that will certainly be a lot of interesting storylines with Rick returning to his old team. And that comes in late January at the very tail end of all of that. So, yeah, that was one thing I was looking for. I think it'll be, a really interesting kind of night. Obviously, it didn't seem like he left under ill regard or anything like that. It was just ready to move on. I would have to imagine that, you know, from a fan perspective in Dallas, it's nothing but extreme positive thoughts and memories of Rick Carlisle's time there. They won a championship together. And that'll probably be a pretty emotional night and a fun one to tell from a broadcast perspective. And then obviously, you know, a lot of this comes down to, you know, are you traveling? Are you able to get access to the players firsthand with all the COVID protocols? But you would imagine it would be a pretty interesting night, if nothing else.
Yeah, and I don't think this is official, but I think there are some plans to honor Dirk Nowitzki in Dallas. And I saw a Dallas reporter that I follow on Twitter mentioning what a good night it could be for something like that with Rick Carlisle back in the building on a Saturday night, which, you know, Saturday, I think, is always the night in the NBA where, you know, just no matter who you play, you usually get a better ticket bump on a Saturday night, especially after college football season. And when the second half of the schedule hits, we see at Bankers Life Fieldhouse, big crowd. So I think there are a lot of opportunities there. If the only thing that I was maybe even a little surprised is if the Pacers were going to be on national television, that would have seemed to be a likely choice for one of those games to have Rick Carlisle back in Dallas. But we'll take all the audience on Bally Sports. I have no problem with that. And maybe we should at this point just touch on the fact, maybe acknowledge some Pacers fans' frustrations with maybe our thoughts. Just the one national TV game. I was a little surprised none on ESPN, and then the one game on TNT in December, which does actually make for a little bit of a break for me personally before Christmas. I think with TNT doing that game, it's safe to say that Bally Sports will not. And there was already a break in the schedule. So I've got a stretch from, I think, the 16th to the 26th where I've only got one true night of work. So that's kind of, personally, I'm okay with that. But I understand some fans' frustration, especially those that don't live in central Indiana or get Bally Sports. Only having that one national TV game, it's a common complaint. I feel your pain a little bit. And I guess all I will say is teams that advance deep into the playoffs do get more of those. High-profile markets obviously get a little more attention, and the Pacers don't have that going for them, so they have to earn those national TV spots. And the teams of the 2013, 12, 2014, they were on a little bit more, and obviously the Reggie Miller teams, they were on a lot. And so you just have to maybe show it on the court and get rewarded for that the following season.
Yeah, I will say I was maybe moderately surprised that if you would have asked me to just like predict a number, I might have said, oh, 3, 4, 5 or something. So maybe moderately surprised that it is legitimately only one. Now, we're not counting NBA TV in this. It kind of depends where you see the numbers can sway drastically depending on whether that article you are reading is referencing NBA TV, which the Pacers do have a handful of those games. But from an ESPN and a TNT perspective, it is just the one that you mentioned. It is kind of nicely placed in there, especially because not only is that around Christmas time, but it'll kind of feel like that first mad rush of the season. You'll be a couple of months in by that time. So I'm sure a little break in there will be nice. And it really is a lighter portion of the schedule anyway, so we'll still have it on the radio. But you're right, like looking at that portion of the schedule around the holidays, just in terms of how many games do you play over X amount of days, it does seem like it's a nice little bit of a reprieve, which is nice for the players as well, which I think is significant. And you have just the one, but it's always kind of funny when you talk about it, because at least from our perspective, and certainly more years than mine, and we're talking Chris and Quinn and on the TV broadcast, it's like you want the national respect for the organization and for the franchise, and being on national TV is always a good thing for the organization and for the field house. But when it's on TNT, at least you lose the game on Bally. So you don't want to root for too many games being lost on your own network. But you do want to have the opportunity to play in front of a national stage. That said, the way last year ended, I wasn't really expecting a major boost. The reason I thought it might be just a few more is if you're projecting out the schedule and you look at and you were to say, okay, what are maybe teams that could make a bounce back this year? And by later in the season, we'd like to see from them if they do that. I think the Pacers would be pretty high on that list. Like, I think Chicago might be an intriguing team with their offseason moves. They're obviously in a bigger market. But, like you said, you're not in a big market. You didn't make it to the playoffs last year. So, unfortunately, to me, this wasn't overly surprising, but we'll never complain about getting to hopefully be a part of the Bally broadcast again this year and getting as many games as possible on that end.
Yeah, and one of the things that has always surprised me is that when you have those Western Conference road games, there's less of a pool to pick from if you play on a Thursday night in Golden State for that 10 or 10:30 TNT game. You're one of about three options, right? And so I'm kind of surprised that it seems like every time the Pacers are on one of these road trips, one of those games isn't picked up, because to me, Pacers Warriors is kind of intriguing more than just seeing another random Golden State Sacramento or Golden State Phoenix game, because if it's two Western Conference teams playing at 10:30, I don't know, maybe it doesn't to me have as much appeal as an interconference matchup. And so I'm always surprised that the Pacers don't at least get one or two of those, but as is scheduled right now, just that one on TNT in Miami in late December. Quick thought on the February schedule, and I hadn't noticed this in my first scroll through. February, before the All-Star break, there is a chance to really make up some ground and really get some positive momentum. And I don't know when the trade deadline is, but it will be interesting to see how this week or two of schedule goes and whether it does shape any decisions of the Pacers or other teams. But you've got Magic home, Bulls home, at Cavs, at Hawks, home Cavs, home Timberwolves, at Bucks, home Wizards. I mean, that's not a bad pre-All-Star break stretch where 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 games. I see 6-2 minimum.
Yeah, and then you'll hit the All-Star break and come back for a pair of home games too, which is good. So you know, it's interesting because it's almost like the more I look at this schedule, it kind of feels like it's in like, I don't know, almost like four significant blocks of like, okay, you're going to have this big road trip and can you survive it? And can you play 500 ball or close to it and put yourself in a position where you then follow it up with a bunch of home games and you can maybe take advantage of a strong road trip if you can with that homestand. And then it's another long road trip month coming up, if you will, and then another opportunity on the back end to play a bunch of home games. And if you struggled on the road, try to make up for those games. If you had a big road stretch where you played well and went something like 5-3, then you can really do some damage in stretches like the one you're talking about right here going into the All-Star break and even those first couple of games coming out of it. Boston, obviously, is always a tough home game, but it's Oklahoma City out of it too, which obviously doesn't jump out and scare you a ton. So, like, it's just like the December and the February months feel like the payoff months and maybe, you know, key months just in terms of, like, can you take advantage of what you were able to do in November and January if it was positive? And if things didn't go as well as you hoped, those months to me then become very key because you're going to need to play well at home to avoid sinking too far down. And I guess that's probably just the overall kind of theme of this schedule. We're seeing more road trips lumped together. I haven't looked at every other team's, but I would imagine it's a lot more like this with longer road trips bunched together. And again, what that does is the one-offs are a lot more travel because you have to go Indy to Charlotte back to Indy. Whereas if you're just already in New Orleans and you can hit Charlotte on the way coming back home, it cuts down on the miles and it cuts down on the amount of nights in a hotel usually. So it's something that I think that COVID kind of brought on in terms of they wanted to schedule it that way for health and safety reasons for numerous aspects. And I think they probably liked it. And I think, you know, that was part of what they wanted to get done with this. And, you know, we can look into March and April here real quick. While we're talking about it, just kind of brought up what I thought was an important final thought. And I give, you know, Wheat Hotchkiss here for credit in compiling all of this. He has a nice story up on Pacers.com with 10 takeaways on the schedule. And he notes that the Pacers are going to be playing in less back-to-backs this year in 82 games than they did in 72 games a year ago. So 10 more games and 3 less back-to-backs. So you played 17 back-to-backs last year in the 72-game schedule, 14 this year. We know how condensed last year's schedule was, but I still think that's significant. When you add 10 games and have less back-to-backs, I'm sure that's a trend around the league. That was a trend we saw. It was like each year, how many back-to-backs would drop off the schedule and how fewer would you see? That's another thing. It seems clear to me that they've gone back to, it kind of just feels like from schedule release day of 2019, you take all the craziness of the restart out, all the craziness of last year out. And it really does feel like we've just bridged back to a very normal schedule and a lot of the goals that the NBA was trying to accomplish. Wheat also goes on to mention in his article that the schedule also features several longer breaks than it did a year ago. This is kind of interesting to me, at least not counting the All-Star break. The Pacers had just one stretch of more than 2 off days between games last season. So just one stretch where you had more than 2 days off. And then this year, the schedule features a 4-day, 2 3-day breaks over the course of the season. So a lot of that we knew was coming, right? Like it wasn't going to be as condensed as last year's schedule and was going to feel a little bit normal. But I just think it's interesting to me to actually see those numbers on the screen and how different and hopefully normal this year will be. And I think it's kind of easy to sometimes forget like how abnormal everything last year was. just with how condensed the year was, how often you were playing in back-to-backs. And we saw a ton of those back-to-back series, which we don't see, at least in the Pacers' schedule, quite as much as I thought they might bring back, which to me is a little bit interesting. But nonetheless, it does seem like they're trying to cut down on travel and using longer road trips to do that.
Yeah, I think that's a great move by the NBA. And the other thing is there are no back-to-backs. I don't even think league-wide, and I may be wrong about this, but I thought I saw someone report that there were no 4 and 5s in the NBA, which if that's accurate, and again, I could be wrong, but I thought I heard somebody say that, and I'm not saying that it's 100% accurate, but that's not having any of the two sets of back-to-backs in a span of 5 days, which is always the most challenging week for an NBA player, for an NBA broadcaster, really for anybody. And so to eliminate those is a step in the right direction. But why don't we just kind of finish with a thought on a back-to-back, and it's a specific one. It'll be fascinating as we sit here late August to project forward and see or think about where things might be in early April. And to me, it is even to see April 9th and 10th as the final regular season games. I will admit that you mentioned earlier, you know, wondering if the schedule might begin in November instead of October. I think it's a little early personally to wrap up a regular season April 9th and 10th. That's basically a few days after the national championship game for college basketball. So if I was commissioner, which I'm not, and I'm glad I'm not, but I think I would probably push to start maybe 2 or 3 weeks later, go just into late April with the regular season, just so you have a little more of that spotlight on all of your teams, not just the playoff participants. Because if you think about it, over half of the teams are finished by mid-April, and they don't get that full attention that can come often when the schedule or the other sports are on hiatus. But 9th and 10th at Philadelphia, at Brooklyn, travel-wise, it's not an awful back-to-back. If those teams are playing for something, it's a grueling way to end the season. But then at the same time, if they are not, perhaps it's a benefit to get those games against Eastern Conference powers when maybe they, you know, don't need a win. And we don't even know where the Pacers might be in that situation. But if either or both of the Pacers and the Heat or the Nets or the Sixers need those games, those could get picked up for national TV for those fans that were interested, because those could be big games.
Yeah, they absolutely could. And, you know, I think back to one of the first, maybe it was like the first year we were doing this podcast, and we were doing this schedule release edition of the show. And the Pacers that year, whichever year I'm thinking of, which maybe 16, 17, if I were to just give it a guess, had a pretty easy, in terms of like their opponent's schedule, in terms of strength of schedule, they had a pretty easy April. And I remember thinking, okay, this is going to be really good, because if they need to rattle off some wins down the stretch, they've got an opportunity to do so against some lesser teams. And my philosophy has flipped, and my memory's not good enough to remember exactly who this was, but there was somebody else that they were battling out for playoff contention that had a schedule that was more like the one you're looking at with the Pacers now, in terms of you're playing a lot of traditional powers at the end. And that's exactly what happened. So you're looking at their schedule and you're going, oh, they're playing, you know, these top teams, probably Cleveland at the time, and you know, some of the top teams in the East, and whoever it was that they were going blow to blow for those last couple playoff spots with, was playing all these teams and they were all resting. And so all these games that you were like, oh, you know, Cleveland will be, they'll pick up a win there, it wasn't happening because all of these top teams were resting their players, and it made life a lot more difficult. So I am firmly in the camp of, if you have to play the top, you have to play the top teams anyway. If you have them at the end of the schedule, I think it's an advantage, because you're going to have to play them regardless. But at the end of the year, you're more likely potentially to get teams resting around you. And who knows where the Pacers will be. Like, we hope they're in a position to do that too. We're just looking at this from, you know, a very generic perspective of, to me, if you're going to, you know, close the year with Philadelphia, Brooklyn, I would rather do that than have those games scattered somewhere else in the schedule.
Although we must look back to last season and remember, I think of the last 2 weeks of the season, the Lakers went full strength, maybe two games, and one of those was just so happened to be against the Pacers. And then even the Bucks, who technically they were still, if you'll remember, they were fighting to get a top two seed. Maybe a two seed would have given them home court advantage in that second round matchup, and they didn't get it, but they went for it, and they they played everybody against the Pacers. And if the Pacers had just won one of those games or maybe had a better opportunity based on who those teams played, they would have gotten to eighth instead of ninth. And then who knows what would have happened. But you can't predict those things. Sometimes the basketball gods just have their say, and we'll see what happens at the end of the season. It is interesting, though, too. I mean, I don't love having that back-to-back at the end. You want to be at your best, especially if it's a game you need to win. But you have Wednesday, Thursday, Friday off. You've got a home game against Philadelphia on that Tuesday. Then you play the Sixers again. So you've got some built-in breaks. And as you mentioned, hopefully from a Pacers perspective, there's then a break coming after that April 10th game until the following weekend where you can sit on the sidelines and watch the play-in tournament and not have to be a part of it this season. So I think there's an opportunity there if you've got some aches and pains and some bumps and bruises and you've had a good season to really feel good about your health and you just your energy level going into a potential playoff series. So, but that's 82 games away. A lot can happen between now and then, but hey, that's why we're fans and broadcasters. We like to look ahead and think about the possibilities, which really it feels like with this team, Pat, there are endless possibilities. I mean, it could go any number of directions, but as long as they stay healthy, I feel good about this season coming up.
As do I. You know, I kind of feel like this team is primed to be in a bounce back position, but there's going to have to be a few things that happen. And obviously, the big question mark number one on that list when we were having this discussion back in April or May is who's the head coach? And they've clearly checked that box about as well as you can. So that's a major first step in the right direction. But there's a whole lot else, you know, still to be determined. And unfortunately, the next biggest box, and maybe the biggest box, even bigger than head coach's health. You know, if you're not healthy, it doesn't really matter who's leading you. And I think that'll be the biggest key, fortunately or unfortunately, to the season. Like, you can think of that as a negative and that you can't control it. But you can think of it as a positive, too, which is just that if you do get health, or at least relatively good health, you look at this team and there's no reason why they shouldn't be at minimum very competitive in the Eastern Conference. And, you know, if Rick Carlisle can find a way to bring these guys together in ways that they, you know, maybe never were able to last year, then I think the ceiling is still very, very high. And so I also agree. I think there's like so many possible outcomes for this team. I think at some point you and I, as we get closer to the year, we'll probably do a podcast where we maybe project the Eastern Conference and perhaps the whole NBA as well. We've done it differently in different years. The Eastern Conference as a whole, like just thinking about that right now hurts my brain. The exercise of trying to determine where the Pacers could fit in, and with Chicago making all of these moves, and like, is Toronto totally gone? Where is Miami? You know, things like that. The Eastern Conference, I think, just has a whole lot up in the air, and I definitely think it got better. Like, I definitely think, you know, Chicago's putting the pieces together to try to maybe not be a title contender, at least with their current roster, but you look at Vucevic and DeRozan and LaVine and Ball, and all of a sudden Patrick Williams, that's potentially a pretty good group there. So I think a ton is up in the air for the Pacers. I think the Eastern Conference is kind of up in the air a lot more than it typically is too. And then I think you also have the added dynamic of you're coming off the COVID season. And I firmly believe that you just saw weird stuff last year that won't happen next year. And I'm not making an excuse. Everybody had to deal with the weird stuff, but the weird stuff is hopefully mostly gone. So if the Pacers were a team that were not healthy and didn't really gel as well together under a first-year head coach last year and maybe didn't deal with you know, some of the challenges that the COVID pandemic brought, I don't know. I wasn't there, but obviously last year, they didn't have the level of success that they hoped. Every team had to deal with that, but no team is going to have to deal with all of that type of stuff again. So those specific challenges will hopefully not be specific challenges this year. And I just tend to think that benefits the Pacers. And the home court record is the best example of that. Like, that was such a crazy, weird anomaly where the Pacers were one of the top teams in the NBA on the road and then had their very long home court winning streak broken really with still 5 or 6 games left in the year. And to me, that's a COVID anomaly. Like, there's no doubt in my mind, the 1 year and all of that stretch where you don't have many fans at home and the whole league is operating under different protocols and different traveling and all of that. There's no doubt in my mind that that came into play. So I think that just generally tends to benefit the Pacers, and we can take a closer look at the standings and make our predictions as we get a little bit closer into the season. I didn't want to leave this podcast, though, without giving the one quote, which I think is probably, if you go back and listen to all of our podcasts, is probably a tradition here during the schedule release podcast, which is one of my favorite stories, which comes from Mark Boyle when Larry Bird was the coach and whomever asked Larry if he wanted to see the rough draft of the schedule. And Larry simply responded, 41 at home. Yep. 41 on the road. Yep. Okay, then I'm good with it. And I can confirm 41 at home, 41 on the road again this year. But like, that wasn't always a given. So that kind of oddly feels heartwarming to have 41 at home and 41 back on the road.
So you're saying that Larry Bird is probably not putting in an hour to listen to our schedule breakdown podcast. It is of little interest to him.
I would guess that's true, but on the off chance you are listening, Larry, I would love for you.
We appreciate it. Oh, yeah.
He's not on Twitter. He's not on social media, but on the off chance that he actually is listening, I would certainly love to know about it. And that is one of my all-time favorite quotes.
Exactly. I knew where you're going exactly when you, led into that. And it's a valid point, but I will say, how the bread is buttered, it still matters to me personally. So if it's only me and you and our personal lives and just knowing what time we're going to come on TV, it still matters. And I think it maybe matters to some of you listening, although, it's a few days past the schedule release. And I know there are some other podcasts out there now that are doing a really good job almost on a daily basis, it seems, breaking down the Pacers. And so many of those have already probably offered their thoughts, but I know you still like to listen to Pat and I, and we'll be back in September with some more frequent editions of the Sideline Guys. But it's always good to get that schedule out and to start thinking ahead and really to look at the roster and see pretty much who's going to be wearing a Pacers uniform. I know there are still some things that'll happen before the season starts. I know fans are excited about seeing some of the renovations and the second round of Fieldhouse of the Future renovations. And I know you still got a fever season to complete. So there's still a lot going on, even though August is kind of the dead period for us, but I can't wait to kind of really get going in about a month.
No, I can't wait either. And, I think, when the schedule comes out, like I said, it always kind of just turns the page in my book. And I hope that you're traveling. I hope you're on the road. This is also kind of as we get closer to the season when I tend to meet with our digital folks and create a plan or if we want to adjust anything for the podcast this year. But something I would really like getting back to is doing some giveaways and stuff like that. That kind of all of that went away when COVID happened. But I would like to make kind of a big splash going into this year and try to increase our subscriber count again and do some fun interactive ways where we give away some autographs or something along those lines. So if you're listening, I think it's hopefully obvious, but the plan for this podcast is to continue to be back throughout the season with JJ and I. But if you have any ideas of things you'd like to hear, realistically, we both obviously during the year are very busy with our radio and our TV jobs, but we can get to this once a week. We try to commit to it. And if the idea is go daily, I don't think that's going to work, but at least once a week, we can come to you. And if you have any suggestions, we'd love to hear them.
How about some live remotes? That's my suggestion.
Okay. I would love to get back to that. I would love, we've only done it once, I think, but you and I have, we've only done it once in front of a group, but you and I have in person taped one podcast together in like a year and a half. And if nothing else, I want to get back to that.
Definitely need more of that for sure. Always makes for a better podcast and does, as you said, make things feel more normal. So I'm all for anything. So any ideas that the fans or even the marketing department, if any of those folks are listening right now, I'm game.
All right. I think that'll wrap it up for this week. For JJ, I'm Pat again. We'll continue coming to you maybe once or twice more here in the off season as we get closer, certainly to media day and training camp and all that. There'll be a lot more to talk about it. And we are excited to have a 82 game schedule here on our plate that will tip off in the not too distant future. For Jeremiah, I'm Pat. We will talk to you soon on the Sideline Guys podcast.